Hello, and welcome to the RPG Academy Twitch channel. My name is Michael, and we are here tonight for a special bonus edition of Detention Live. As you can see, we have really no overlay. That's because I'm lazy and untalented. But the goal tonight is we are going to play a version of the D&D Trivia Pursuit game. We will probably not be following the rules, and we will probably not get many of the questions correct. But you, dear audience, if you'd like to play along, you may as well by throwing answers into chat. Please don't cheat. Don't Google. Just if you know it, you know it. If you don't, you don't. My name, of course, is Michael. You can find me at the RPG Academy, all the places. You can email our show at therpgacademy@gmail.com. And consider following me on Twitch, on TikTok. I have that now. The RPG Academy as well. Joining us tonight, friends of the show, we're going to start with Jack. Jack, say hello to everyone.
Hey, Jack Vinson. Love playing games and playing D&D. We were joking beforehand. I played this version of D&D and then skipped a few versions and play 5th edition plus anything else that I stumble across often at conferences. And on the socials, I'm Jack Vinson just about everywhere. So easy to find me, although I'm pretty much on the Discord and email.
Excellent. Well, Jack, thank you for being here tonight with us. I appreciate it. Joining us tonight from the Dragonlance game, I think this might be your first detention, is RJ. RJ, say hello to everyone.
Hello, I'm RJ. Like Michael said, this is my first time on detention. I'm happy to be here. Happy to check this out, try feeling it all out. But yeah, glad to be here.
Fantastic. And then join us again, friend of the show over at Tabletop Journeys, sort of a sister or brother pod. I don't know exactly how we would do that.
Sister's fine.
It's a fraternity of pods. Longtime friend of the show, comes to a catacomb on occasion, is Liwanika. Liwanika, say hello to everyone, and you can feel free to do all your socials and plugs, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Liwanika. I'm one of the three co-hosts of Tabletop Journeys. We're a podcast who's been on for about 3 years now. We talk about all kinds of role-playing games, everything role-playing games adjacent, tabletop and orientation. And one of the inspirations for our show has always been the RPG Academy. Before I even realized I wanted to do RPG podcasting, I had been listening to the RPG Academy. My co-host Josh swears by it. Like, many of the discussions we had were really extensions of conversations that started with these fine folks. And so happy to be here talking about our team. There's Josh, there's Glenn, there's myself. We have a number of behind the scenes folks at Tabletop Journeys. We've got big things in the works. So for right now, I'll throw you our quick socials. You can always catch our podcast. We're on Spotify, any podcatcher, but our website is www.ttjourneys.com. We're on Twitter at TTJourneys. We're on Facebook, where you can find us. Really just look up Tabletop Journeys. You'll see our logo, the blue shield that we have, and always Linktree at linktr.ee/TTJourneys. Those are most of them. There are a few more, but honestly, if you can get us on our website or Linktree, you've got them all. We do a lot of content. We'd be happy to have you check us out, including this book right here, Traveler's Guide to Factions, in pre-order after a very successful Kickstarter. And we are in our final phases of our writing, of our editing process now. Then we'll be doing layout and getting those books out to folks very, very soon.
All right. Well, thank you. Yeah. As always,
Tabletop Journeys is easy because if you know how to Google or pick your favorite search engines, you can pretty much find them. RPG Academy is tough because you have to figure out how to spell RPG Academy.
Yeah. Yeah, we're pretty much bad at everything except helping other people create shows that are better than ours. We've been doing that for like 15 years. All right. And then rounding us out tonight, also being our game master, our trivia master, is Chris. Chris, say hello to everyone and kind of introduce yourself however you'd wish, and then kick us off in what we're doing tonight.
All right. Well, hello, everyone. Like you said, I'm Chris. Been here many times. Also a longtime GM and sort of player on the Redemption podcast, which is a Star Wars actual play. I still claim as the longest running actual play, waiting for somebody to challenge me, or Star Wars actual play, waiting for somebody to challenge me on that. And then we could have a, I don't know, meet and greet online and argue about it type thing. Otherwise, you can find me on Discord. I don't do a whole lot of the other social media stuff. I just don't have time or the brain power for it any longer.
You're better off for it.
Yeah. Just a lot of other things going on. So basically, this was kind of my brainstorm or idea. I love playing trivia and love D&D, so I wanted to combine the two. I borrowed the Trivial Pursuit game from my brother Skip, who's listening right now. And the idea is it's basically going to be us answering questions from the cards. And we're going to keep track of the number of questions asked, the number of questions we get right, and then kind of grade ourselves at the end. If anybody's in chat and wants to throw an answer out, we're going to figure out if that's a bonus for us or against us later. Because we might need some help.
It depends on how bad we're doing at the time.
Yeah. So we're going to start off. I'm just going to go down one card and kind of read off the questions. Just to give everybody an idea, if you haven't played the D&D Trivial Pursuit, like the first category is magic and miscellaneous. So we're going to start off with that. Also should warn everybody, I am dyslexic, so sometimes I read things wrong, or I just flat out can't pronounce something. So if I get it wrong, we're just going to pretend I said it right.
Yep.
So first question, in Dragonlance, oh, no pressure, Chris.
I'm done. I'm out.
Yeah. The Disc of Mishkakel, which preserved lore about the gods of light, comprised 160 circular plates of what substance?
Adamantium?
I think it's platinum.
Vibranium?
Yeah, I'm confident it's platinum.
Oh,
only thing that comes to mind.
Leonika's confident? So, I mean, I'm not going to argue with that. Jack, RJ?
I was going to go with Mithril, but I have no idea.
Yeah.
I own one Dragonlance book that I haven't read yet, so I trust you guys.
All right. So all right, it's wrong. Platinum? Yell at Leonika. Yep.
All right.
I got big shoulders.
The correct answer is platinum.
Yay! One for one.
They formed a stack bolted on one side so that the individual disc could be pulled out and read.
All right, we're at 100% right now.
So far.
I'm going to keep it that way, whole way.
Well, we'll see. the next category is history.
Okay, yeah, I'm out.
This is history of Dungeons & Dragons, not necessarily history of stories or games. So in history, what was the name of the cartoon wizard who served as TSR's brand ambassador in the early 1980s?
Merlin?
No, wait a minute. If in the 80s, if it's from the television show, Eric was the Cavalier.
Presto was the character
Presto,
from
yeah
Presto
from the D&D cartoon, but was that the cartoon wizard who served as their brand ambassador?
No,
I'm gonna go with Mordekainen because yeah. Why not?
I'm gonna say well, if it's cartoon, it wasn't Elminster because that was late 80s with Forgotten Realms, and I don't think I ever saw him in cartoon.
I think it's gonna be like Id the Wizard or something. It's like some little goofy mascot that's not in any of the books. That's like was probably on like all the advertisements, holding the wand, be like play D&D. But yeah, Mordekainen, Bigsby, Melf.
I'm gonna go with Bigby.
Is it Melf? It's not Melf Magic Missile, right? It's Melf.
Melf.
Melf. Okay.
Yeah.
Melf.
You're saying something there, and I'm gonna leave that be.
Yeah. Hey,
that's a wizard
a
I'd like
Magic
to
Melf.
Study under.
M E L F.
Yeah.
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 All right. I have no idea on this one. So what are we gonna go with? Bigsby?
Sure.
Morley.
Morley. Yeah, that's yeah.
It's exactly where we were thinking.
Yeah. Isn't that what I said in the beginning?
Yeah, close. I'm pretty sure. We're gonna be morally corrupt, I guess. Yeah. I don't
See,
know.
See, this is what's wrong with America's education system. We had 100% average, and now we're failing. So, you know, we went one was right, 100%. Now we're at 50. That's a failing grade.
We just got to get the next one, and then we'll be
at a C. Yeah, come on.
Yeah. All right. The next category is monsters.
Oh, okay. So, this one I might have a shot at, he says, before being humbled.
All right. You encounter two fairy dragons. One is red, one is blue. Which one is older?
The one that tells the truth, the other one always lies? Wait, no, that's different.
That's my ex.
Fairy
that's
dragons?
Fairy dragons.
One is red, one is blue. Which one is older?
So they change colors when they get older?
Yeah, see, this is new to me.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure in the original editions they did. But I don't remember the order.
Well, if it's Roy G. Biv, red comes first. So blue would be the older color.
That sound logic.
In the book, I feel like the picture was blue.
I've always seen purple, but maybe that was the transition. I'm leaning towards blue because I happen to like that color better.
I like red better, though.
Well, I know in like the art from like the basic, you know, the big dragon you fight is red. So I would associate red with being like more powerful. So
that's where I went.
Blue would be less powerful. Purple is if your grip's too tight.
Yes, for sure. All right, so am I hearing red then? Three people red?
I'm happy with red. I'll go with fine. That just so I don't have to hear about the grip again. Grip,
yeah. Well, fairy dragons are born red, and they progress through the colors of the rainbow as they age.
So I was right to begin Roy, with.
Yep. Should have listened to you to begin with. But
we're one for three.
Yep. Michael. 33%.
All woo-hoo! Right. The next category is Dungeons and Adventures.
Oh, okay.
All right. We might get this one because I think at least one of you is at this convention. What 2013 module released as an exclusive for Gen Con that summer contained an extensive preview of the 5th edition system?
Probably Phandalin.
I wasn't there that year, so I was hoping one of you might have been there.
I was not there, but I mean,
can you read the question again, please?
So what
is it in a sentence?
Okay. What 2013 module released as an exclusive for Gen Con that summer?
Murder in Baldur's Gate.
Oh.
That was the kickoff 5e adventure, I think.
I'm good with it because I have no idea.
I say go. I didn't start playing 5e till 2018.
All right. Ghost of Dragonspear Castle.
Oh, that was the other one.
Nope.
I can't do the math. We're at 20% now.
Yes.
It's 25%.
Okay. This is characters.
Is this still the same card?
Liwanika is a character.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going down this card.
Okay. Just let me know when we switch cards.
I like this one because the first words are in Dragonlance.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There you go.
What color was the dragon Kisanth who hoarded the disc of Mishkakale in her lair under Zach Sauroth?
Purple. Black.
Black because he melted Riverwind.
Yeah.
That's my. All
right. Yep. Black. Black.
Couldn't it be? Platinum that, because the item was platinum.
Oh, that would have been a good dragon. He was evil.
An evil platinum dragon.
I have no idea.
I think there was consensus on
pretty
black.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes, black, and her common tongue name was Onyx.
That makes sense. All right, so we're one out of two out of five.
Two
out of five or two out of six.
Five.
Two out of five. We have one more category on the card.
Okay, so still in the same card. Okay, so what are we at?
Yep.
20%?
Two out of six. Two out of five. Yep.
All right, I messed up the math earlier.
That's right. The last category is cosmology.
Aha.
This is definitely not one I'm going to do well
at. Astral plane.
Yes. Which layer of the abyss is a never-ending dungeon ruled by Baphomet? Got it wrong, I'm sure.
Yeah, Baphomet, yeah.
From an enormous ziggurat of crooked and confusing hallways. So what layer of the abyss is a never-ending dungeon containing enormous ziggurat of crooked and confusing hallways?
The bottom one.
Didn't you just say it was the layer of Baphomet?
It's ruled by
Baphomet. I don't know.
It's Baphomet's lair.
Yeah. That's probably its common tongue. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Chris, are you allowed to cheat and look to tell us, is this a number or a name?
Or the name?
It's a name.
Okay.
That's I wouldn't have gotten it right. I would have never.
Yeah, it's probably like the, what was the book that came out a few years ago that had people in one of the hells?
Yeah, Princes of the Apocalypse.
Yeah.
Avernus?
Avernus. I don't think it's Avernus,
but it is. I know a couple of them, and I cannot remember what that one is. I mean, if you did, but
I got no idea.
Jingshell Fafluflen.
Sure.
What he said.
Sure. It's not right because it's a simple name. It's the Endless Maze.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. There's that.
I looked at it and went, wow, we're going to overcomplicate it, but I can't give you any hints. So,
yeah.
All right. All right.
So,
new card.
In the card, we are 1 for 6.
2 for 6.
2 for 6.
2 for 6. That's how bad I am at trivia. I can't even keep up with math. 2 for 6.
All right. On to the next card.
So, it puts us back at what, 33%?
Yep. We're at 33%. Man.
So back to the top. This is Magic and Miscellanea.
Okay.
Magic Missile.
This is our strong category. We start off strong here.
All right. So this is for people who play Wizards a lot.
Oh.
The spell Plane Shift requires what as its material component?
A keyboard. All right. No, that's Control Shift. Sorry. Plane Shift.
A active login to either D&D Beyond, Foundry, or Roll 20.
Yeah. Usually like diamonds and other precious gems are often.
So that's for the like the restore life ones. I'm thinking it's like a platinum bowl that has some, I don't know how, there's a couple of them that have some like a platinum bowl that's been attuned to the plane that you want to shift to or something. Goofy like that.
Isn't it a platinum bowl and then like some item that's native to that plane or something crazy like
something
that?
Something to that effect. And I don't ask me how much it's worth. Plane Shift is a fairly high level.
Yeah, that's
so it's probably at least 1,000 gold worth of platinum.
I don't think we need
200
to be that.
Platinum worth of platinum.
I don't think we need to be that specific.
The bowl rings true because I know in my high level campaign that I closed up earlier this year, one of my players was talking about some odd kind of planar travel and the bowl came up. I don't know if it's this one or one of the other ones.
So but shall that we try is definitely part bowl? Of one of
them. Sure. I think our arcane focus maybe.
Well, the arcane focus obviates the need for mundane components. Sure. But when it's a component that has a specific value listed, you must have that along with the mundane components.
I think it's anything valued at 1,000 or more is the break point or something. Like there's a dollar, there's gold. There's a gold piece amount where that changes over. I don't know if it's 100, 500, or 1,000, but
so we're going
platinum bowl. Platinum bowl.
Yep.
It is a forked metal rod worth at least 250 gold pieces. And attuned to a particular plane of existence.
So you were on the right track.
But I remembered the attuned part.
So it wasn't a bowl, it was a fork. So if we would have thought pancake breakfast instead of cereal breakfast, we would have got there.
Yeah.
That is, which is funny because I had pancakes this morning.
And you think about Waffle House is sort of
full
like.
Full circle, man. It's full circle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we should
count it. The Waffle House of the planes.
Yes.
That's the other thing. The unspoken rule is that when you shift planes, you end up at a Waffle House.
Ooh, yes. I love it.
That's where hardest fights go down.
I want waffles. Yeah.
For the bosses.
That's not wrong, though. That's not wrong. that kid likes bacon. That's all I'm saying.
We now have a new campaign idea.
Yes.
All right. On to our next category of history. How many years did it take for D&D to be inducted into the National Toy Hall of Fame? This is multiple choice.
Okay.
Was it 12 years, 22 years, or 42 years? So how many years did it take for D&D to be inducted into the National Toy Hall of Fame?
My favorite die is the D12.
I've been to the National Toy Hall of Fame in Rochester, New York. It's a great place to visit, by the way, even if you're not a five-year-old.
But you wouldn't want to live there.
You wouldn't want to live there. I said great place to visit.
Exactly.
42 seems long. Of course, it depends on what you mean by age of D&D, right? From the first edition. Mm-hmm. I was there 10 years ago, and I'm pretty sure it was in already. Now I'm screwing it up because I'm only vaguely remembering. What were the options? 12?
12, 22, or 42.
Yeah, it's going to be 22 then.
Yeah, I think so.
Because it would have been before 2016.
RJ's saying 22.
Yep.
I mean,
yeah, but D&D was...
If you don't know, usually you should go for the one in the middle. I mean, that's just test-taking
and
strategy.
So if it was made in the 70s, 12 would be like the end of the 80s?
Yeah.
How did the Satanic Panic...
I'm good with 22.
I would lean towards 12 just because D12 is my favorite die, but I think 22 is the better guess.
Yeah, I think I think that's... the 80s ends up being too close to the Satanic Panic to get that kind of award. All right. So, yeah.
22 is our final answer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
42.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
I'm pretty sure. Now, so, of course, now I'm doubting myself.
You can't ever go against 42. Mm-hmm. Like, when was this game made?
Yeah.
Which version?
What year?
1977 was when it first came out.
Oh, the Trivial Pursuit game.
The Trivial Pursuit game.
A couple years ago. It's fairly new.
So. Yep. Okay.
All right. I can say is whoever's on the board of directors for that toy game must be communist. Okay, that's why.
Hey, this is the first year that Foreigner has been on the ballot for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So that's just a Hall of Fame problem. They like snubbing folks.
I want to know what love is. And I want you to tell me.
Who's Foreigner?
Nice. Good one, RJ.
Oh my God. You just hurt him.
We'll give you a little paper.
I used to play Hot Blooded on the jukebox at the pizza joint all the time. Probably drove
psychic
them crazy.
Psychic damage.
They're going to be in Grand Rapids soon with Styx. I want to try and go.
Nice.
I have seen Styx twice now. They are an amazing band live.
I saw them once back in 2018. They're there with REO Speedwagon. It was really cool.
I saw them in 91 or 92, I think it was. Yeah, it was 91.
I wasn't alive.
I knew when they were Jefferson Starship, so, you know.
Wrong band.
Wrong band, but okay.
Let's move on to monsters.
Okay.
We might be able to get this one. What kind of object function as a phylactery for a Dracolich?
It's the blue one.
The one on the left.
A chalice, a vessel, a vase.
But if it's a Dracolich, it's got to be something.
Got to be something specific.
Like a dragon heart?
Is it the dragon's skull?
I'm trying to remember because I played Neverwinter Nights to death, and there's a Dracolich in it, and I feel like it's a giant gem of something on a pedestal in the game. That was based off third edition, so I don't know if it's changed.
I mean, I think a dragon skull, a dragon rib cage, dragon heart, a horde, a dragon's horde.
The three times I've actually fought against them in game, my GMs were basically homebrewing it off the cover of Pools of Radiance. So it was whatever they came up with. I don't think we had a book that had the actual creature in it at that point. We just, that cover looked cool. Let's fight that thing. And I'm like, you got out of your cotton picking mind.
And I had like a module that I ran my kids through with a Dracolich in it toward the end. But I think I'm probably wrong, but I'm thinking it's the dragon's skull. I could like the, because right. It's an undead. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. But I remember in the game and even in the pictures of the Dracolich, their head is attached.
Yeah. Right.
So,
so that doesn't make sense for a phylactery, right?
Right, because it's always somewhere else.
Phylactery is usually somewhere else and hidden and or protected and or both.
So I don't remember.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be the dragon's heart. Or like I said, I think in the game it's this giant gem, but it's been a few years since I've played it.
Yeah, all I picture is that Pool of Radiance cover, and he had that bright glowing gem-like eye that was shining, like you couldn't tell it was a gem or whatever, but I remember it like kind of sparkling.
It's a platinum soup spoon.
Which is used to spoon out the syrup for our waffles.
Exactly, yes.
Right. Yeah.
So do you want to go with the giant gem, or do you want to go with the heart?
Why not a gem heart?
I was just going to say, how about a gem that is a heart?
There you go.
All right. It is just a gem. A special gemstone containing the spirit of a Dracolich.
Yeah. So, we count it? That's
okay,
good.
Got it right.
Yeah. What a thing.
Excellent. Woohoo!
All right, so success. Now we're on to Dungeons and Adventures.
Dungeons and Adventures.
All right, Michael.
Yes.
Module B3.
Nope.
Bingo.
This one, You might get this one.
I almost got the last one, but I was wrong. So, yeah.
In the Baldur's Gate computer game series, Faerûn has become populated with the children of has been populated with the children of which dead god, the Lord of Murder?
Is it Myrkyl? It's like Mykril or something like that.
What?
I'm a weirdo who doesn't play video games, so I'm going to have to defer to those who do.
Yeah, there's three gods that are like comprise this part of the Baldur's Gate thing, and one of them is like it's like Mykril or something, but I don't know if that's the specific one.
Yeah, I mean that is one of the Faerûnian deities, so I'm familiar with that deity.
That's still sure. A shot in the dark.
I like that.
Let's go with that one.
All right. I'm game. So basically, it's who is the Lord of Murder in Forgotten Realms?
Right.
Or it's Baal. Baal.
That would be the other one.
Children of Baal are called the Baal Spawn, and he hopes to use them to revive himself.
I'm a Baal Spawn. They're bad. Yeah. They're bad.
We're all Baal.
I think we're all. All
right. So we're on to characters.
We are so bad at this.
Harder than it looks.
Yeah, I'm reading this one, and I don't know if we're going to get this one. Caladorn, a warrior who became a lord of Waterdeep, was a scion of which wealthy aristocratic family of that city?
So Waterdavian noble families.
Yep, Caladorn.
And I remember that it's called Waterdavian, but I don't know about the family names.
Is it
Jones?
Mr. Waterdeep?
Yes.
I don't know Waterdeep at all.
I got nothing.
No idea.
You muted yourself, Lee.
It is Sultan Mr. Waterdeep to you. Yeah. I got to tell you that if we were doing this while I was playing Dragon Heist of Waterdeep or whatever, I would know it because I think I remember it from then, but. Totally right. Lost to the ages.
Right, because there's 12 lords on the council, and they're the masked lords, so you don't know, but everybody knows who they are.
Yeah,
but I don't
and then
know
there's the two or three secret ones that nobody really knows. And...
Right, and there's the one open lord. Yeah, but yeah. I don't remember most of the names.
Yeah. Is it Baal?
Yes. Or is it Myrkyl?
We'll go with Baal.
It's Myrkyl Baal.
Yes.
Nice.
Dude, that sounds like a fun game.
That's Urkel. That's did I do that?
Urkel Ball.
Yeah.
Can I do that?
Correct answer is Cassalanter.
Oh, Cassalanter. Okay, so Cassalanter. That's one of the families. Yeah. And now that you've said it, it's like, yeah, I'm familiar with that name.
Yeah.
All right. So we're on to cosmology.
Yeah.
In Faerûn, the Uthgart barbarian tribes all honor what environmental taboo.
Okay.
So Forgotten Realms.
Those are words, but I don't know how they work in a sentence.
So most of the, I think most of those barbarian tribes, I recall them from Storm King's Thunder, and most of them seemed like they were up in those northern mountains. And I can look at my map over there and go try to remember what the mountains are called, but
I don't understand the question.
Environmental taboo is kind of a weird
environmental
phrasing.
Taboo.
Yeah, they all honor what environmental taboo. So to me, I mean, I kind of read that as like throwing your children out in the snowstorm and they have to survive. I don't know if that's right, but
yeah, I was going to go with snow until you said taboo, and I was that kind of threw me for a loop.
Like no socks with sandals,
or worse yet. Wearing dark sandals in thong or wearing dark socks with thong
or
sandals.
Wearing white after Labor Day.
Yeah.
White shoes after Labor
Day. Yeah. No white shoes after Labor Day.
So what are our thoughts? I just looked at the answer,
snow?
So I'm gonna shut up.
Frostbite on your
snow
toes.
And ice, maybe something.
No, I think it's something about like I think you were onto something, Jack. I think it's something about like doing something that would be considered wrong or weird, and then that's like what they honor. Like if you go out and survive naked and without anything or whatever, or
the Sword Coast Adventurer's Guide would probably tell you more.
It would. It probably would.
But we're not supposed to look anything up.
So we're just going to go with throwing the children in the snow or
frostbite on your feet? Unresourced survival.
All right. I don't think I'm going to be honest, we're not going to go down this path. So it's no barbarian will knowingly cut down a living tree.
Oh, wow.
I don't think we would have ever gotten there. So
I wouldn't have got there. But that makes sense to the question now that I've heard the answer.
Yeah, the question was very poorly
worded. It was
worded
weird. Environmental taboo.
Blame it on the question.
Yes.
All right.
And if I remembered it correctly, the Uthgard, according to the book, are more forest-loving than mountain-loving.
So they're a bunch of hippies.
So that makes that tree, statement.
Tree-hugging barbarians. Gotcha.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, we're back to magic and Miscellane.
So we're back to a new card?
Yep. New card.
That was a rough card
for
us.
That was a rough card.
We got one of six on that one.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I don't know if this one's going to be too much better right off the bat.
Thanks for the confidence, my friend. Thanks.
No worries. I read the question already. So what first-level evocation spell is cast using a twig from a tree that has been struck by lightning?
Witch Bolt.
All right. I have... Not even going to argue with Jack. He raised his hand before I finished it. Witch Bolt is correct.
Yay! Yep. Look at that.
Nice.
That's why we bring Jack along.
That
was
25%.
All right, we got our one.
We got our one out of the six. That one is just very evocative, and it's also the spell that you cast it, and if you successfully hit, you can just keep procking it every round.
Yep.
So you don't even have to cast another hit. It just does another D12 of damage.
Yep.
D12.
I know. Yeah, I use it in Baldur's Gate 3 quite a lot. It's one of my favorites.
Nice. Yep. All right, we're on to history. What Paul Anderson novel is credited in chainmail for inspiring the regenerative capabilities of a troll?
It's P-O-U-L, right?
Yes, I'm sorry. P-O-U-L, you're right.
Yeah, but I...
So I don't know if it's still pronounced Paul or if it's Paul.
It's Paul or Paul or take your pick, but
you understood. What novel did he or is credited in chainmail for inspiring the regenerative capabilities of a troll?
Is chainmail like a magazine?
It was one of the early magazines in the 70s that led to
D&D.
Yeah.
Chainmail was more closer to the miniatures warfare side of D&D than that. So chainmail was the miniature war games, and then it's like, okay, so you have your armies, then you have a squad that does special missions. The special mission squad was what led to D&D, and that's a really bastardized, shortened version of that.
So
part
it's got to be a fantasy novel, I would assume, since it's troll. So was a fantasy novel from the 70s?
Not even from the 60s, maybe even the 50s, but I'm guessing the 60s, and if it's
Troll Hunter 3, The Search for More Money.
Creature from the
Black. I don't know the names. It may sound familiar when you say it, but I don't know them off.
I want to. Creature from the Black Lagoon. I don't know. I like Troll Hunter 3, by the way.
All right. I would go see that film. That is not correct. Four Hearts and Four Lions.
Wow.
Does that sound familiar, Jack?
That doesn't have anything to do with trolls.
No.
I would never have gotten it.
That question trolled us.
Oh man, that hurt.
And the crowd goes boo. All right.
Four Hearts and Three Lions, I think, is the name of the book.
Oh, here it says
1961.
Four Hearts and Four Lions.
That's the sequel.
Maybe it's a misprint.
Ooh. Then the question doesn't count.
I just did a quick Google, and there's a book called Three Hearts and Three Lions. But I don't see one called Four Hearts and Three Lions.
That must be the sequel.
Yeah. I'm just reading it.
Yeah,
we'll move on. We'll move on. Monsters. What two languages can Etten speak?
Giant. And is it common?
Or Zildin? Grunt?
I would expect giant and common, since they're often... it'd be funny if one head spoke one language and the other head spoke the other language.
It's actually French and common. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's common and giant.
Yeah.
All right, I'll go with it. Giant and orc.
Ah, firecrackers.
Half a point.
It says Ettins are giants, but orcs consider them distant cousins.
Really? I've always thought of them as. I never thought of that other piece of it in the lore. Interesting.
Yeah. Me neither.
And so orcs do canonically speak French, so it makes sense.
Yep.
With a little more spitting.
Is that what they're saying when they say now there's meat on the menu again?
Yeah, that's actually whatever.
Meat's back on the menu, boys.
So orcs know what menus are? What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hobbit.
Menu is a French word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we're on to Dungeons and Adventures. All right. The DDEX series of D&D encounters from 2014 guided adventurers through which D&D adventure product?
DDEX from 2014?
Yep.
I would like to phone
so,
a friend.
So the DDEX are all the...
Adventures League. So I'm going to have... So it's going to be one of the first hardcover adventure modules, which I thought would have been Tyranny...
I think it may be Tyranny of Dragons.
Tyranny of Dragons?
I think so.
Those are
the ones I used with my kids just before the lockdown.
I'm sold. What was it?
Tyranny of Dragons?
Court of the Dragon Queen.
Was that a different one?
That would have been the one that followed it. So Tyranny of Dragons was the first part. And then there was something else, and then there was Horde of the Dragon Queen. So I was on the right track. I went extra old school.
All right. Characters. RJ.
Yeah.
Seems for you.
Just your character.
Oh, yes. Boy.
In Dragonlance.
Yep.
Oh, no.
What is the relationship between Zephyr, Kitiara's first blue dragon mount, and Sky, who succeeded her?
Incestuous.
What?
I think it was mother-daughter. But I could be wrong. It's been a long time since I've read that part of the books.
Okay,
I never read the books.
Yeah, read the question again.
I think twin sister.
Ooh.
In Dragonlance, what was the relationship between Zephyr, Kitiara's first blue dragon mount, and Sky, her second mount?
Okay, so she's got two dragons.
Their names are consistently wind and air themed.
Yeah. Fathers, brothers,
siblings.
Well, they're clearly they seem like they're female.
Mothers, right? Cousins, nephews, former roommate.
Yes,
former roommate.
They
both
siblings.
Got 38 on the ACT.
FWBs. Sky, I don't know.
Sky was female. Zephyr.
They're both blue.
Yes,
that's the relation.
They're both sad.
Yeah.
Siblings. Yeah.
I think siblings.
Right. Let's go siblings. Let's see. Daughter and father. Zephyr was the daughter of Sky. Well, I said mother-daughter, so I would have got it wrong,
close.
Too.
Yep.
All right. I think we can get this one because it's
so if we
I
would
think
just
the answer is in the description.
Child, we would have gotten it.
There you go.
Yeah, I would have counted it.
We should have went that
All
way.
Right, so we're on to cosmology.
All right.
I don't know how this is cosmology, but...
Ball.
In Three Dragon Ante, or I'm sorry, is Three Dragon Ante a card game, a board game, or a dice game? Now, the only thing I know about Ante is Monty, three card Monty. So you have three cards and you mix them around. You got to try to find the queen.
So I'm 99% sure it's dice.
I think it's dice as well.
I'm pretty sure it's dice, but ante would be basically the stakes of a game. So, like, you would ante up an amount of money, and that's what's being wagered.
I bid a gold, I bid five copper, or whatever. Yeah.
See, I think with three is three dragon ante. To me, I think that three card Monty game where you move the card.
I get you. I still think it's a dice game,
but
here's
the thought: they actually have dragon chess.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
There's Three Dragon Ante, and then I thought there was a dice game listed as equipment also. So I'm not thinking that Wizards put
that's an interesting thought.
Two of the same type of game as equipment, but there's definitely three games that are listed as equipment. So I'm gonna alter my answer, even though I kind of was leaning dice, and I'm gonna say card game.
I like your logic, Lee. I don't know. What do you think, Michael?
I will not argue because I don't know, but And I think it's DICE because I think it was like a marketing thing where they wanted there to be a game you could play inside the game, which right. would be a
See,
DICE
that's
game.
Really strong too. And
but last time I was sure I was wrong. So therefore, vis-a-vis transitive properties, don't say what I say.
I know as a GM, I've always kind of done it as though it were a card game.
Right, so I've got,
I'm just not sure that that was
okay. We narrowed
right
it down. It's definitely a game.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
I'm hearing two for
it's
dice.
It's dice or cards.
I'm hearing two dice, two cards. So Lee Winnicka, right now you're the deciding vote.
Yep. So if you get it wrong, we're going to blame you.
I yes. like your logic though that there was already two other games and they wouldn't duplicate it. So that's why
I'm going to go cards. I'm going to go all cards.
Right. All right. Look. So cards it is. And the answer is a card game.
Yay! And there was much rejoicing.
So we got 2.5 on that card.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. Do we count the half for the language?
I say yes.
All right, so we're back to Magic and Miscellany. Oh, I think I know this one. The spell Longstrider increases what attribute of a creature?
Movement speed.
Speed.
Movement speed.
Right?
Yep,
movement. Yeah.
Yeah.
It adds, what does it add, 10 feet to your movement?
Yeah, or speed. The target speed increases by 10 feet until the spell ends after 1 hour.
Yep.
Yay.
And in Baldur's Gate 3, it's a ritual spell, so you can cast it outside of combat, and then it lasts all day.
Nice.
I like that version.
So far, our best category is magic in Miscellany. So now we're back to history. Not necessarily our strongest. TSR president Lorraine Williams was born into a family that owned the rights to what science fiction character?
Paul Atreides.
Ooh, she's part of Dune.
Science fiction.
Lauren Williams. You could go John Williams.
Buck Rogers.
Something to do with
Buck Rogers.
Star Wars.
And I say that because TSR was the original publisher of the Buck Rogers in the 25th Century game, which utilized the original
IP
concept art that came out in the 30s when the original Buck Rogers novel came out.
Wow.
I'm sold.
I mean,
sure. Why not?
I'm obnoxiously focused on Buck Rogers. Like, it's like one of my all-time favorite things. I used to own a second printing of the original novel. So,
wow.
Right. I'm big time into Buck.
Lauren Williams' family owned the rights to Buck Rogers.
Ooh, look at that. Ooh,
Winnicka. Awesome.
Let's go. Her grandfather was John F. Dilley, D-I-L-L-E. I probably said it wrong, but all right.
Nice.
We might get three in a row, guys. Right, Ender monsters. What is the term for a type of giant that has a single eye? I'm going with Cyclops.
Cyclops.
RJ?
Cyclops.
It is. Three in a row.
Look at that.
Not going to jinx us. All right. So we're back to Dungeons and Adventures.
It's a monocular oversized being. Sorry.
What dungeon are you exploring if you came upon the Great Green Devil Face?
That is the Tomb of Horrors.
Tomb of Horrors, yeah.
Oh, nice.
I'm sold.
Is there one in the Tomb of Annihilation?
Well, Tomb of Annihilation is the new name for the old adventure. For they basically changed the title of the adventure for the 2014 version of it.
So is it asking for the adventure title or the title of the tomb?
Dungeon.
Oh.
What dungeon are you exploring if you came across the Great Green Devil Face?
So it's called the Tomb of Horrors?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. All right. I'm just asking.
That's the one that kills everybody that goes into
Correct.
It.
Right.
Yep.
All right. We are four in a row.
Whoa!
Tomb of Horrors is correct.
Fireworks. And yet we're still less than half. We're like 48% and we're going great. This is amazing.
Going off.
All right.
Go off, King.
This one is characters.
It's RJ's. You got this one.
Yep.
This one might be a little bit of a mouthful for me. That's what she said.
What was
the green bearded dwarf, Pickel Boulder Shoulder, a friend of Dritz, belong to what unusual character class? And it says unusual for a dwarf on Faerun.
I mean, Pickle Boulder Shoulder sounds like a druid.
Ranger?
Oh, ranger? Yeah, ranger.
I think he's a bard.
Oh, bard.
I think he's a bard.
But I think of bards, dwarves, like the war chant dirge singers. That doesn't sound as weird to me as like a...
Yeah, I guess...
But Dritz was a ranger, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never read any Dritz. I'm just... Because he had the two scimitars.
Yeah, he's right.
I could see bard makes sense because
it's Pickle there bard or wizard. It's one of those two. I lean towards bard, but I could be convinced wizard if somebody thinks that that's more appropriate. I mean,
I don't know.
It's certainly more opposite for a dwarf, I think, but it's the whole frivolity of his name that makes me think so.
Was warlock a thing back then?
I don't think warlock was a thing back
really.
Then.
Okay.
Not when those characters came out.
Okay.
Skip says our average, if we were playing baseball, we'd be all stars.
I mean, yeah, batting average. We're 22. Like at 450. That's a pretty good batting average.
While I could be convinced wizard, I really got to lean on where my heart went the first time at bard.
Yeah, I think. Bard? Yeah, let's go with bard. Why not?
All right, I'm good. Druid.
I was right.
Oh, no.
No one listens to me, which is probably
green
a good
skinned.
Idea. Yeah.
We should have listened.
Yep.
All right, so we're back to cosmology. Almost
cosmetology.
Cosmetology.
That's what the green skin guy was called.
Yeah. When was the fade first introduced into Faerun?
So this one, the World of Greyhawk campaign setting is located on what planet?
O-Earth.
O-Earth?
O-E-R-T-H.
Nice.
I'm going to say sure.
You are correct.
Bam!
I would have never come up with that.
Nope.
That card was good for us. Five of six on that card.
Yeah, I played in Greyhawk from 1983 until 1994 and only did Forgotten Realms sporadically because a friend of mine did Forgotten Realms and we just pretended they were on the same planet separated by the ocean and our continent warred against his continent. So,
all right. So we are on to a new card, back to Magic and Miscellany, which has been a good one for us.
Yep.
Well, mostly Jack. So not leaning on you for this, Jack.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
The spell Staggering Smite adds what type of damage to a melee weapon attack?
I'm gonna say radiant.
It's a smite. I was gonna agree with you. Radiant.
Yeah, I would say radiant.
I don't know, but that's what makes sense.
Staggering smite.
Yeah. Yeah. Or was it? It wouldn't be blunt because
force. No, it'd be thunder. Thunder damage.
Thunder
or force.
Thunder?
Oh.
Thunder. Thunder.
Thunder.
Because a normal. Or is that thunder? Staggering smite.
No, there's thunderous smite.
Staggering smite. There's just your normal smite.
So does normal smite add radiant damage?
Yes. Standard smite is radiant damage. I don't know what the other ones do.
So then thundering would add thunder. Staggering
maybe psychic?
Force.
It might add force.
Force. Psychic.
Like either maybe? Force or radiant.
Let's just list them all.
Yeah.
I'd roll with psychic because I think that would stagger a person versus force specifically. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure radiant is the vanilla version, but I think RJ's right that there is like thunderous smite, which makes sense to be thunder. So if they're saying staggering is at a different type, bludgeoning makes sense, or radiant or psychic.
I think all the smites add a secondary tier type of damage. So, you know, it's not going to be piercing, bludgeoning, or flashing, but it's going to be one of those higher tiers.
All right, so what are we thinking? Psychic or force? Seemed to be where we were at.
I like
yes,
psychic, but that's just because I love psychic damage in general, but...
Emotional right. damage.
I can emotional be sold on any of it.
Damage!
So we're going with psychic?
Sure.
Yeah.
Psychic damage.
Ooh, yay!
Correct.
Teamwork makes
well
the dream work.
Yay. Well done. We did work that one out together.
Way
so now
work.
We're back to
way
history.
Way to get us down that line, RJ. Well done.
Yes.
Back to history. Ooh, this one might get us in trouble.
Civil
Not us
War.
In trouble, but Sort of. Okay. Of the 11 characters depicted on the cover of the 1978 Player's Handbook, how many were recognizably women?
Zero.
Well, there's that famous image of the Dragon Hunters. I don't know if that was on the PHP. There was one, I believe, that was recognizable. Oh, this is,
remember, 1978 cover. Not
is the first hardback, right?
Sure. It doesn't tell me that part, but I would assume.
Yeah, because this is the Dungeon Master's Guide.
Yep. Player's Handbook is.
Yeah, Player's Handbook. I'm thinking zero.
I feel like there was one that was like tied up, or maybe that was a different book I read. I gotta say,
I thought there was like one, like.
Yeah.
It's almost a trick question because regardless of the answer, we know it was depicting women poorly, right? Yeah, like, correct. I think that's a given.
That's why I said it could get us, not us in trouble, but them in trouble again.
But I would have to say zero would be too easy an answer, so I'm going to go with one.
I think it's zero or one, but I'm going to say one.
I think one.
That's fine.
Sure.
Fuck. Zero.
Damn it!
That's how many points we get.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. On to monsters.
One.
What variant of true dragons cannot be turned into a Dracolich? And a Dracolich cannot be turned into it.
Old?
Platinum.
Or platinum.
Of true dragons.
Yeah, yeah, platinum.
Part that just throws me as a... I'm good.
Is that like an extra good type of dragon?
It. Yeah, well, the Bahamut is the platinum dragon. And so platinum dragons in... general or maybe it's the gold dragons because if I remember the lore correctly, the gold dragon is like the favored child of Bahamut or Paladine or whatever, and they're like, but
this is my I don't know face.
Mm-hmm. And it says variant of true dragons.
I think in most games there's only one platinum dragon, which is Bahamut. So if you're saying plural and it's a lore history kind of question, then it can't be platinum dragon.
It says what variant of true dragon cannot be turned into a Dracolich, and a Dracolich cannot be turned into it.
Steve,
I didn't know you could reverse the process.
I didn't either. That's why the question was more confusing to me than I think it should have been.
What about dragon turtles?
Ooh.
Well, that's where I was. What variant of true dragons?
They're not considered true dragons. The true dragons are the metallics and the chromatics. Everything else is a variant form or whatever, at least in the original lore.
Feeling because gold dragons, weren't they very rare? I mean,
the metallics were pretty rare to begin with.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know how much platinum dragons they had early.
Electrum dragons.
Electrum dragons. That's a mixture of platinum and gold.
I think there was an electrum dragon and some second edition thing at some point.
I'm kind of leaning towards gold.
I'm gonna go. I will lean with you. I will lean towards gold.
Sure.
I will stay out of the way.
Wow, shadow dragon.
Oh yay!
So we weren't even close.
Nope.
Good news is that Skip was also dragon. Wrong.
Yeah, that's a dragon out of Unearthed Arcana.
I've never even heard of a shadow dragon.
First edition Unearthed Arcana.
Neither have I. I'm just reading it. All right, so we're back to Dungeons and Adventures.
Our favorite.
Well, yes. I think we'll get this quickly. Dying adventurers in 5th edition D&D must make what kind of roll in order to stabilize?
Death saving throw.
I think we're all going to say the same thing, so I don't think I really need a yes. Death saving throw, commonly called a death save.
Whoa, we're all shocked.
Yay. Yeah.
Sometimes they're easy, and sometimes they're completely unknown.
Off the wall.
All right, so we're back to characters. Minder, a character from the Forgotten Realms comic book, was a sentient version of what kind of construct?
Minder?
Bach?
Minder. Wouldn't it be some sort of golem?
Yeah. But I'm thinking...
It's not Minsk. Minsk is a something.
Yeah.
Minsk is a rat.
No, Minsk is the is the barbarian. The rat's name
is Boo.
Is Boo?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a miniature space giant space hamster.
Giant
space hamster. Yeah.
Minder. Okay. Wait, so one more time, is what type of construct?
Minder, a character from the Forgotten Realms comic books, was a sentient version of what kind of construct?
Would that be one of those, like, what the Modrons? Are they constructs? The ones that, like, the big, is there Moldrons? Modrons?
Yeah, Modron is the word, and I know, and I trying to remember the Forgotten Realms comic book.
I don't know if those are considered sentient, though, because those
I only remember the ponytail-wearing paladin that rarely ever was seen in armor.
Nice.
Construct? I mean,
I don't know if it's
a sentient.
I mean, what were the Eberron? What's the Eberron?
Warforged. But those are sentient by nature. That's part of their lore.
And that came out in 2004 or 5.
Yeah, so. Much, they were later.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a
Forgotten
Wizard?
Realms comic was 1988.
Yeah, but wasn't there a wizard that had an iron golem that guarded it? Its shop.
Yeah, I would say golem makes sense to me.
Yeah, sure.
A golem. Yep.
Yay!
Hey,
we're almost overthinking it.
Iron golem, animated by the spirit of a female dwarf.
The animating factor was the spirit of the dwarf.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Cosmology. In Greyhawk, who is the neutral god of forests, fertility, animals, and good rural folk?
Ilona.
I'm going to refer to the Greyhawk player because I've never played in it. So,
yeah.
You are correct.
Yay!
Ilona.
That's a 4 out of 6?
I think so.
So by Michael's my count, track, we are at 14 and a half points out of 30.
Nice.
So we are batting 500. That, again, we are all-star material. So it's been about an hour, so I say let's do one more card.
All right, we're on to the next card.
And then we will calculate our score from there.
Back to Magic and Miscellanea. For how many days is a corpse immune to the spell Speak with Dead after having been the target of it?
Is it a 10-day?
I thought it was forever. I thought it was like you could do it once and then you had to go on to another corpse. At least that's the way it was in the D&D movie recently.
I'm pretty sure you're right on that. And I think so too.
But I think you probably are right.
But I do not know.
And I know 10-day was something that specifically is a part of Forgotten Realms. And the spell actually predates that. So I doubt it's a 10-day.
Right. Wow.
But it would also make sense because, like, they had to keep going to different corpses because they couldn't wait any period of time. They had to ask that night.
Right.
So you could still have a 10-day, a week, a year.
Yeah.
So I 365, is it a year? Is that
what
is a Fae Runian year?
It could be. Could
it
be
just
what,
is how many days. I would think if it was more than days, it would say months, years.
Yeah. I mean, I think Jack may be right. I think my 10-day makes sense.
Yeah, is it the current, and each realm
each version changes it, and each realm does it. 10 days very specific to Forgotten Realms.
Exactly.
So, is 3 days maybe? I don't know.
10 days sounds good.
Nothing. All right, let's go with 10 days.
We'll go with 10 days.
Sure. 10 days it is.
Yay!
Hey,
well done, Jack.
Jack got us there. We talked him out of it, and then we worked all the way back around and settled on the right answer.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. All right. History.
It may not be a 10-day. It probably just says 10 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lee. Yeah. So it's probably that way it gets away from, you know, which world are you in?
Yep.
On to history. Who painted the iconic cover art for the 1979 Dungeon Master's Guide depicting adventurers fighting a scimitar-wielding Ifriti, however you say it.
Oh, Ifrit. That's the wrong one.
The only fantasy artist is Boris Vallejo, but
this is the paperback one on like Manila colored paper with just a line drawing.
Again, literally, the only fantasy artist I know is Boris Vallejo, but
I've got Arts and Arcana, the book that. What's his name? The actor published. I got that upstairs if you want me to go look. Yeah.
We'll know in a second. Michael, what you said is the only better than me. I would have said Larry Elmore, but I'm pretty sure he's afterwards.
It's not Elmore, but I think he would have stuff no idea for
a lot of Dragonlance and other stuff. So we'll go with, what'd you say?
Boris V.
Dave Sutherland.
Yep, that's exactly who I thought.
Oh,
yep. That's exactly what I heard you say.
Yep,
so. That was his pen name.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I said that with enough confidence, right?
Yeah,
everybody
yeah.
believes that?
Yeah.
So we're going to go monsters.
Monsters!
And, we might get this just fine. How many legs does a displacer beast have? Is it six?
Six?
Pretty sure it's six.
Six with tentacles? The tentacles are not legs.
Tentacles aren't legs. It's six. I'm pretty sure it's six.
I think it's six as well.
Sounds right.
Read the card right. Six. Yeah. In addition to six legs, a displacer beast has two tentacles that it uses to attack.
That's right.
All right. We're back to our favorite Dungeons and Adventurers. Or Adventures. What 1993 Greyhawk adventure used a, quote, notoriety record chart, end quotes, to determine how strongly the party would be resisted?
Say the name of the, say the year again.
What 1993 Greyhawk adventure used a notoriety record chart to determine how strongly the party would be resisted?
Adventures in Greyhawk?
No, that was like the pamphleteer.
Castle Blackmoor.
Gazetteer.
Yeah, so Greyhawk Wars came out before. It's the one that followed Greyhawk Wars. Wow. And it's a
Greyhawk
box,
War 2. The Return.
And I cannot for the life of me remember the actual name of that box set. It was one of the last box sets they did for Greyhawk, but it wasn't their last adventure. I think they did one adventure after that, but I cannot for the life of me think of what it is.
I literally have no idea.
Okay. What
Return to Castle Greyhawk?
Return to Castle Greyhawk.
Sure. No, it's WGR6, The City of Skulls.
Yeah, that was my second guess.
I was way off. That's actually
It's Samsonite. I think I was way off.
That's one of that's one of the three I use conclusion adventures. Right, I use the old and a couple others.
I don't want to put any extra pressure on this, but we have two questions left. If we get both of them, we will end with a 50% success rate, which I think we should count as 100% success rate. So it's all or nothing on these next two questions.
We'll have gotten one right on every card, Michael.
We are on to characters.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to try to say this name. Thimble Dwarf Pwent. The spiky, smelly berserker dwarf from Mithril Hall was eventually transformed into what kind of undead creature?
A zombie.
Death Knight.
Skeleton.
What? So what? What? It was Revenant. A dwarven what?
Smelly berserker dwarf from Mithril Hall. So that might be a clue because I don't know where Mithril Hall is from.
Faerun.
Okay, so Forgotten Realms. And what kind of undead creature? So Death Knight I would take out because that was more, it was originally a Dragonlance thing.
And in Paladin, right?
Oh, no, wait. Well.
Zombie.
Maybe it,
skeleton.
Maybe it is. Maybe it is.
Revenant.
Revenant. Oh, that's a good one. What's the one with the tongue in the belly that's like a zombie? A gaunt?
I think you're right. Mithril Hall maybe Dragonlance and not Faerun.
Skip says a vampire.
Skip says vampire. And he has been right and wrong. So, you know.
I'm inclined to go with Skip. Let's call it a vampire.
Yeah.
All right.
Phone a friend.
Skip, it's on you.
Skip.
Go Skip.
All right. It is a vampire.
Yay!
Whoa, nice.
Hey! Skip. Phone an
audience. Phone
coming
a friend.
In for the win.
Big time. Big time, baby.
Here we go. Well, this is for all the marbles, or technically half the marbles, but you know what I mean.
All the marbles we want.
It's all the marbles we have left.
So this is for Cosmology. I've never played this system, so this might be in your wheelhouse, Michael. In Eberron.
Oh, okay.
During what activity do mortals usually encounter the plane of existence called Dalquor? And I may have said that wrong. It's D-A-L space Q-U-O-R.
Dreaming. Dalquor is the realm of dreams.
Nice.
What activity do they exist? I'm going with sleeping? It because I don't have.
So sleeping, anything. Dreaming.
Dreaming. You are correct, nice. Michael.
Let's go.
When mortals dream, they psychically project their minds to that plane where dreams play out.
I mean, I think it's clear that I'm the MVP because I got the last question correct and maybe absolutely. The only one.
Or it could be Skip for getting the vampire
coming off
right.
The bench. I mean, you know, he's the.
I think Skip coming off the bench was the turning of the tide.
That's true. Because if we had not got vampire, then Dalquor wouldn't have even mattered. But
yes.
All right. Well,
so out of 50%, I would say, based on I have played this once before, and to play the actual board game with three teams, it took us almost 4 hours to get all the puzzle or pie part pieces and get through it, because some of these categories are rough.
Yeah,
we got a little lucky on some of the history questions. They weren't as rough as some of the other ones. Some of them ask about relatives of writers of the original D&D that I didn't know they were originally writers or different things like that.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that we didn't run into any Vox Machina or, I'm sorry, Critical Role questions, because a lot of the character ones are about Critical Role characters, which
literally zero idea. I've never watched a single episode.
I've only watched the television show. I've never watched the actual play. Love it, but that's a lot of history to go through from scratch. So, which is
I think Skip is correct. He's the true MVP because he provided the game for us to play.
There you go.
Yeah, Skip, that is on you, my man. That was so much fun. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for organizing this, Chris. I do appreciate that as well. RJ, thanks for joining us for tonight. So, again, if you're having fun, you're doing it right. I had fun, so I would say that we did it right. As usual, we'll go around one last time. Again, you can say who you are, and if you have socials or things to plug, RJ, we'll start with you to sign us off.
Oh, all right. I'm RJ. I have no social medias to check out, but
smart.
If you're in the Grand Rapids, Michigan area and you want to swing foam swords, I'm in charge of the local sword fighting group. So find us online at the Kingdom of Northlands Belagarth group, and you can come do cool nerd stuff there.
I do like to swing swords. All right, Jack.
I've rarely said no to it.
Yeah. My kids were really into LARP in high school. Jack Vinson. JackVinson.com is my website, but it has nothing to do with games. I'm Jack Vinson on most social places, mostly hanging out on the Discord with RPG Academy and several others. Although, as Chris said earlier, it never seems like I have enough time to pay attention to all of them. The trivia game was fun. There's a trivia game that one of the companies that show up at TotalCon, where Lee Winikwa was this year.
Yeah.
It's like a cube of death is what they call it. They haven't released it as a game yet, but it's sort of nerd trivia. So it covers D&D and Star Wars and Star Trek and Lord of the Rings, but it's, and they set it up like there's some dice roll mechanic in it as well, but that's another fun trivia game. If they ever bring it out as a game, other than showing up at TotalCon, I'd love to bring it to a Catacon and show it off there. But Jack Vinson, good to hang out with you guys.
All right, thank you. I'm going to jump ahead of Lee Winika just because I also wanted to mention Catacon. Catacon is the gaming convention that I am the lead organizer for. Our event is every year in November, and it's held in Dayton, Ohio. And for a few years, we had Geek Trivia, which was a specific sort of game show that was hosted by members of the Dungeon Masters Block podcast. I do not know yet if they are coming back. There is a chance that they will, but we have talked about doing our own version of Geek Trivia, Geek War, sorry, I think that's the actual name, which we might do with a version of D&D Trivia, or maybe this thing that Jack was mentioning sounds like that could be it as well. So look for information about a Catacon coming out soon. badges will go on sale in August, but we may actually open up VIP slightly earlier. So if that's something you're interested, stay tuned for more. Chris?
Piggyback on what you just said, Neil and I from the Dungeon Masters Guild, I think is what's called. Dungeon Masters Block, one of the two.
Dungeon Masters Block.
He and I talked at a Catacon last year. We are trying to coordinate a way to get Geek Wars back.
Okay.
He and I are working on it. I'm hoping he can do the technical part and I can just be the pretty face in front that makes everybody laugh. Absolutely. At least make people laugh.
All right. So, Lee Winika, we will jump over to you, my friend.
Yeah. Again, I'm Lee Winika of Tabletop Journeys, the one of the writers on this year's book, The Traveler's Guide to Factions. Geek and gamer from before I was physically breathing air. That's just who I am. I love this kind of thing. I love hanging out with all these folks. I love trivia and I love this kind of thing. In addition to going to our website, again, www.ttjourneys.com, you can also catch on that same website our actual play of the Star Trek Adventures role-playing game. Typically airs every Tuesday. We're in the middle of our second season, though we are on a 1 month hiatus. So we're back in May with fresh episodes of season two of Star Trek Preservations. Been great hanging out with everybody. So much fun.
Yep.
So much fun.
And I'll just quick mention our Dragonlance game, which RJ is a player and Chris is the GM, is coming back starting this week. We have the next six episodes that will be dropping, and there's not too many left. And we're going to wrap up and then do a debrief on that one and talk about the whole campaign and maybe some things about the module. But I will leave it to Chris here to wrap us up, sir. Take us out.
All right. I'm Chris. See me here every other week with Michael. Tomorrow I'll be doing Dragonlance with me and RJ, Skip, Dave and Clay. I think we're pretty close to wrapping up our recording, and then I get to edit a bunch of stuff to finish it off. Otherwise, you can catch me every other Tuesday over on Smuggler's Blues, which is the continuation of the redemption story with me, Kaylee, and Michael. The other Michael, not this Michael.
Yep.
Not the other Michael, just the other Michael.
Correct.
I know a lot of Michaels. So.
Yes.
But otherwise, find me on the RPG Academy's Discord or Rook and Rasp or a few others that I will go to. That's pretty much all the social media I'm doing anymore other than just showing up and talking to people because that's my favorite thing to do.
Yep. It's absolutely a good time. If you happen to be in Grand Rapids in a week and a half, we're going to be at the faculty retreat in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I don't know if we'll be swinging foam swords, but we'll be doing a bunch of other geeky stuff. But that'll be it for us tonight, and we'll just sign off as we always do here at the RPG Academy. And that is to remind you, of course, that if you are having fun,
you're doing it right.
Couldn't practice it any better. Thanks, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.